there's something kind of fun when you're sort of forced to be creative and do some of this stuff when there's no power. And there's something kind of fun about there's no TV and everyone has to spend time together. There's a certain enjoyment, except when one of the parents is at work and the other person's by themselves. Then there's very little aspect of that that's fun.
Welcome to the Medical Dads Podcast, a parenting podcast by two dads who happen to be medical doctors. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Stuart Harmon, a pediatric emergency room physician and father of four from Ottawa, Ontario.
I want to be in the podcast.
Daddy, do you know what you're doing?
Can I play a game on your computer?
Daddy, where's mommy?
And I'm your other co-host, Dr. David Hsu, a family doctor from Toronto, Ontario. Welcome aboard. All right, Dr. Harmon, we survived the storm of 2022. We're here for another episode of Medical Dads, barely.
We've got electricity with which to record this podcast. How many of our listeners in Ontario have electricity with which to listen to the podcast? We will see.
Most people are back to regular electricity at this point, but it's been a rough weekend. I guess for people who don't know, we had a crazy storm this past Saturday afternoon. That was like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
The likes of which I don't think we've ever really seen, you know, like a spring storm of this ferocity.
Well, it was short and brief, right? It was like the short, brief, brutal, and destructive.
All I know, I mean, so in case people haven't figured it out yet, we're probably going to spend most of this episode talking about, as dads, how to be prepared for emergencies and how we survived this storm, right? But basically, on Saturday afternoon, I mean, we knew that it was going to rain this weekend. That was already in the forecast. We had made some plans for Victoria Day. We're like, oh, we'll put the plans on Monday because it's going to rain Saturday, Sunday. We didn't realize that rain meant this destructive thing, right? So we get to like Saturday, it's around like 12:45, right around the time we're going to head out for my daughter's violin lesson. And suddenly the cell phone goes off with one of those Amber Alert things, right? Like, I'm like, what is this? And then
An
and the
Amber
alert.
Alert right before the storm warning alerts. Wow, what's going on in Toronto?
Okay, maybe it was a storm warning alert. They all sound the same to me. Basically, I tune them all out, right? Anything that comes to my cell phone, I just ignore, right? It doesn't matter how many children are missing and what kind of storm it is. You just it, and then I read the alert. It's like severe thunderstorm coming, right? But like, that's how it reads, right? Like severe thunderstorm coming. Like it really had to have an audio track to go with it and be like, severe thunderstorm coming, get out of here, right? Like severe thunderstorm coming. I'm like, I don't know, severe thunderstorms happen all the time, right? What's a big deal? Right? And it did cross my mind, like, what's so special about this storm that there's gotta be an alert? I've never seen a weather alert appear like this before, right?
I feel like I get frequently little warnings about severe weather. There will be severe weather in your area. Which is a little bit different than saying a miniature hurricane is going to blow through your area.
Yeah, it definitely did not have the H word or the T word, tornado, in the warning, because we might have acted differently because we're like, okay, let's go, violin. We're still going to be late for violin. Let's get in the car. So we headed out for violin, and the violin lesson is maybe, you know, a 12-minute drive from our house. And as I'm driving, like, I mean, we're seeing that the sky is getting a little bit darker, right? So, okay, yeah, the alert's not going to be wrong. There's going to be a severe thunderstorm, big whoop-de-doo. And I see people walking down the street. I see people pushing babies in strollers, right? Some people starting ahead for home, presumably. But, you know, a lot of people are still out and about. And then we get pretty close to the violin lesson, and I'm looking ahead on the road. And it's that weird feeling where, like, we're not wet yet. Like, our car is still dry. There's no rain in sight. But 100 meters ahead of me, I see things blowing in the wind and, like, severe dark cloud and stuff. Like, my son later said he saw all these paper bags flying around. Like, that was the sign of a real storm, is that why are all these plastic bags circulating in the atmosphere? Right? And then we went, like, another 10 meters forward, and boom, we're in the rain all of a sudden. And then this thing just went crazy. And then I guess it was must have been similar, because you're referencing the same thing, is that the storm starts and it lasted for about 40 minutes, maybe, right? And for 2 hours later, it looked like nothing had happened. Like, from a weather standpoint, right? The sun, it was bright and sunny. All the water had evaporated, was back to business as usual, except half the trees in Toronto had fallen, right, in that 40 minutes. It was crazy.
Well, so, yeah, for me, it was a similar experience in some ways. So I was out with my son. We were trying to buy something for a birthday party for one of his friends. His friend, him, between my brother, or between my son and my son's friends, they were trying to, they'd organized this plan for getting some kid for their birthday, a gift where each of them would get part of the gift. So I'm driving all around town to get this gift for my son's component for the gift, which turns out to be the hardest part of the gift to find. Anyway, so we're out, and then I see this warning on my phone saying, oh yeah, severe storm warning. And, you know, it didn't say severe storm imminent or severe storm incoming. It just said severe storm warning. So I'm like, okay, well. But the problem for me is going into this long weekend, we already knew we were going into an unpleasant long weekend at my house because I was working this weekend. This was my long weekend to have to work. And so I knew that I was working Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So going into the weekend on Friday, my wife's already saying, ah, yeah, looking at the calendar, this is not going to be a fun weekend because she's going to be home with the kids by herself 3 days in a row with I'm gone in the evenings. So anyway, I see there's a storm warning. I'm saying, okay, well, we better get back home. And as it is, I'm already tight for time to get to work because we spent so much on this project of finding this Holy Grail gift that now we're running out of time. And I'm getting home just enough time to drop my son off and then turn around and go to work. And when I see severe storm warning, you know, working in the emergency department, there's no sort of thing of saying like, oh, it's going to be a severe storm. I better stay home. Even if it's saying hurricane is coming, for me, it's like, well, I got to get to work before the hurricane comes because that's where I'm supposed to be when there's a hurricane. So here I am driving to work, and now I'm seeing these dark clouds on the horizon, and I'm saying, oh gosh, okay, yeah, this I might get caught in the rain before I get to work. Then as I'm driving, ahead of me on the street, I see there's this huge dust cloud. There's this cloud on the ground, and it's because on the street I'm driving on, there's a place that sells plants and flowers that has a gravel parking lot, and this is all the gravel from the parking lot has just been lifted into the air. Meanwhile, my rearview mirror, where my house is, I'm leaving behind blue skies, a nice day, driving into these ominous skies and this cloud on the ground. So I drive through this crazy smoke cloud, and then up ahead, I can see lightning coming up from the ground. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And I'm realizing, like that's some kind of electric blast coming from the ground. That's not lightning from the sky. And then as I go down, get closer down this road, now suddenly I'm hit by this wall of rain where suddenly I have to sort of pump the brakes because I can't see what's in front of me. But at the same time, I still got to get to work. So I'm like four ways on, crawling down the road. Cars in front of me are also like putting on their four ways and pulling off to the side and stuff like that. And I get about halfway down the road and a tree has completely blocked the road and taken the power lines with it. And I'm realizing this lightning coming from the ground was a power transformer exploding as the power lines were pulled down. So now I have to like detour around and take a separate route, like find some other path to get to work. And I'm driving through this area where now I've avoided the one road where the tree is completely blocking the road. And I'm driving on all these side streets where trees are half blocking the road. I'm driving over branches. I'm dealing with all these traffic lights that are out and everyone has to do a four-way stop at. And then I'm almost there at CHEO. I've phoned ahead to tell them that, you know, with this weather, I'm going to be a few minutes late. And then the street that I'm going down, that's one of the last streets I have to go to get to work, is completely flooded, and I see some guy is at the grate trying to pull like trees and stuff out of the grate, which gives you a sense of the timeline of this storm, right? It was quick and it was fast, and I'm about a 20-minute drive to work, and by the time I got there, the blast of the storm was already gone, and now we're just dealing with the fallout of it. But yeah, this street is flash flooded, and I'm driving through it in the van, and water is splashing up on the hood, coming up to the windshield, and I'm thinking, I'm so close. Don't let me flood the engine now. Don't let me like flood out now and not get to work. Managed to make it through this little river, come out the other side, make it to work. By the time I'm getting out of the van, the license plate on the front is just dangling on. There's bits of tree branches and stuff in the grill in the front of the car and up on the hood. But anyway, survived, made it there. Didn't get electrocuted by any dangling wires or anything like that.
Wow. So first question is, What time did the storm hit? Was it roughly the same time as it hit in Toronto? Like it hit right around 1 p.m. here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, it was, I could tell you almost down to the minute. It was about 3:42 when it hit, when it hit me.
Oh, much later. Yeah, yeah. Here it was already back to sunny skies at that point.
Oh, yeah, I wish somebody had like, sent us a message saying Toronto just got flattened and the same thing's coming your way. I might have planned my afternoon a little differently.
So you dropped your son off at home
yeah.
after the shopping expedition yeah. and then headed out.
And then headed out, yeah.
Okay. So the second question is, it sounded like you're during that 5-minute sequence where you encountered lightning, a cloud storm, and this like wall of water, like you encountered all of the major elementals. Like all we needed was like an ice, you know, some sort of someone shooting ice pellets at you or something.
A volcano would have tied things off nicely with fire. If something caught fire, then I'd been perfectly set.
Oh man, that is actually insane. I mean, so basically what happened is we get my daughter into the violin lesson, and I'm with my son. We're going to drive back to my parents' house, but my parents live near the violin place,
yeah.
right? We get over there. I get into the house. I look at my phone, and now my wife is pinging me with messages. She's in the violin place with my daughter, but the messages are all about my house,
yeah.
right? Which we had left. My mother-in-law was still at her house. Apparently, there was a loud bang sound. My mother-in-law looks out the backyard, and my neighbors have a tree, which I'm thinking is probably 40 feet tall, maybe 40 feet, probably a maple tree in their backyard.
Whoa.
Right in the middle of their backyard, the tree gets snapped in half
yeah.
and half of the tree somehow flies over the fence, lands right against my house,
yeah.
right? And partly on our patio. So we had a nice, you know, patio set, which stupidly the doctors decided to buy a glass tabletop for some reason, right?
Gotta go with real glass. Plastic won't cut it.
tempered glass, which was now shattered on the ground. And then there's this giant, you know, it's separated into a couple sections, but a giant piece of the tree is against our house. It banged into the eaves trough.
Yeah.
And just a disaster, like looking in our backyard, right? And at that time, we didn't have a clear sense of how many people had been affected by it. So my wife's like, why us? Why us? What's wrong with the neighbor's tree, right? Did the neighbor do something to their tree to make our house extra vulnerable to this sort of thing, right? And I'm like looking around like, no, I think this is probably weather related. I think it's probably an act of nature. And then it cues this whole discussion about like, now what do you do,
right?
Like now you have this thing. It's a sunny day now, you know, do you call the insurance company? Do you not call the insurance company? Do you hire your Chinese gardener to come and deal with this? What are the costs? Like, it's just another headache that you don't want to think about on a long weekend when you're supposed to be relaxing.
So did you lose power?
We did not lose power.
Oh.
Our power stayed strong.
Okay. Yeah. So yes, you had a very different experience than that's hilarious. Ah, a tree smashed my glass table in the backyard in this province-wide storm that's killed 10 people. Why am I getting the worst of it? I gotta go home and watch TV, take a hot shower.
With all my power.
That's right. I gotta go home and Google with my working Wi-Fi and my powered-up laptop, why is bad things happen to me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we really had to like take a step back and be like, look, you know, we're lucky nothing major happened to us. It part of as the tree fell, it did clip like the roof of our house,
yeah.
but it only damaged the eaves trough.
Yeah.
Right. So if it come a few more degrees, you know, the other way,
yeah.
probably could have done damage to the windows and whatnot. So we really got through this unscathed. So it wasn't that bad.
Right? Talking about somebody, talking from the perspective of somebody who was in a hospital shortly after this happened, you know, you're talking about windows, could have been worse, it could have been my window. You got two kids who could have been playing outside. Trust
well,
me, this could have been a lot worse.
Only if they had ignored the severe thunderstorm alert that they were given on the phone. Severe thunderstorm coming.
Well, that's actually an important point to highlight. So in this context, did you actually kind of bring your family inside or get to safety? Or is it just one of those things where you just happen to be inside when it hit?
Well, like I said, we were at home safely, and then we headed out for violin, right? Because the violin trumps severe thunderstorm watch. We only have a month until my daughter's recital, so the recital is coming, whether the storm likes it or not.
So in this context, though, your son, your wife didn't specifically say, oh, you better stay inside, it's a severe storm warning.
Well, he was with me, right? Okay. So we usually all drive over to the violin place together, and it's near my mom's house, and we hang out there for a bit, right? Okay, so then my son and I we pull up the car, and my son's like, you know, he's five, but he's thinking ahead. He's like, can you just open grandma's garage, and we'll just go into the house through the garage, right? Yeah. And I'm like, I can't, because since we've moved out, my mom doesn't drive. My dad can't drive anymore. My parents have no car. You would think that would mean there's lots of space for us to park the car in the garage when we're visiting. But no, there's stuff piled everywhere. There's like an old desk from my clinic. Everyone's winter tires are stored there. She's storing like half the winter tires for all the people in our family. Yeah. And I'm looking at my son. I open up the garage and I'm like, son, your old bicycle is sitting there. Like, we can't get the car in like this. We're going to have to make a run for it, right? So we managed to duck through the rain and get in, but we really had it mild by the sounds of it compared to what you saw over there with the elementals.
Well, so I mean, I do my shift at work, but when I'm driving to work and seeing all the damage, I'm driving around downed power lines, right? Like, there's poles snapped in half and the power lines on the ground, and I'm seeing that and I'm saying, oh yeah, for where my family lives, guaranteed they're out of power. I know that when I get to work, my family is out of power. So I get to work and I try to call home. And actually, I had recently bought a bunch of flashlights and batteries that I bought on a whim because I was in a camping supply store. And they just had six flashlights, each in different colors. And I have a family of six, so it seemed like destiny that these were for us. Anyway, they were sitting in my car because I hadn't got around to bringing them in the house or telling anybody about them. So I was trying to call my wife to say, hey, look, we've got flashlights in the car with batteries, one for everybody. But I couldn't get through to her because when the power went out in such a large patch and in so many places in the city, that the cell phone towers, some of them were not getting supplied with power. So you could get a satellite signal. You could see a bar on your phone, but phone calls were really spotty, hit and miss. So I did manage to get through to her at one point, verify that she was okay and I was okay, and yes, power was out.
Right.
But then drive home that night into a completely dark neighborhood.
Now, I can't help but think when you talk about these flashlights you bought on a whim that you didn't inadvertently precipitate the entire storm from happening, you know, by bringing the karma, you know, I'm going to brace myself for this horrible event that's going to happen where we're going to need six flashlights because we have six people in the family. And lo and behold, the storm comes just as you decreed, right? You remember when we were in medical school, I told you, you know, just in case next time I get diarrhea, I already have this like cupboard stocked with salty crackers, ginger ale, and potato chips. And you were like, no, you should never do that. You should never prepare for an emergency because your body will know that that stuff's there and it's going to weaken itself so that you're going to be easier to get sick because your body wants that junk food. Right, that's what happened here, man. This storm is on you, man. That those flashlights you bought, so your body knew.
I don't remember this conversation exactly, but so I had said that preparing for an emergency will precipitate the action happening. Is that right?
Exactly.
And after I told you that, did you start carrying condoms around with you at all times?
If only I had the foresight to do that. Luckily, my roommate had a supply that you could access at any moment.
You could always access it because the supply was always high. It never ran low. It was always a surplus.
Anyways.
But yeah, so I get home. And so now the other part of it for us then is being without power. And with the damage that was done and with how extensive it was throughout the city. You know, Ottawa is a city of 1 million people, and about 200,000 people were without power. So 20% of the people in Ottawa without power. And it wasn't all concentrated in one area. It was spread throughout everywhere. So the infrastructure was really, really, really in rough shape. I got to give credit to the people at Hydro One in Ottawa. Even though my power did not come on for 3 days. I had just got my power back yesterday, just before going to work. But so it took a while, but those guys were working hard and called in help from Kingston and from other cities. So kudos to them. Shame on all the politicians who know that we have a vulnerable infrastructure, but know that it's cheaper to just deal with it when it happens than it is to invest now and make like underground cables and that type of stuff. But any given politician knows that it'll be cheaper during my term of election to just deal with a problem if it happens than it is to prepare for the future.
Yeah, I live in an older part of Toronto where all our lines are above ground.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these storms just wreak havoc on the grid. If you go to a slightly newer neighborhood, they have so many better ways of designing things now than they did in 1971.
But let me launch into a thing I find annoying, pet peeve, is when the power goes out. There's like one person on the street who immediately, like on any given street, there's one person who immediately puts on their generator. You know, that person who, I bought this generator for just such an emergency, and there's no way I'm going to let the power go out without me using this generator. Like, why does it bother me when there's a generator? Because when the power goes out, initially, when the power first goes out, there's a certain element of, you know what? Power's out, so you can't do anything indoors anyway. So you might as well come outside, sit in what's now like a peaceful neighborhood without a lot of ambient light, and sort of enjoy that for a little while. And that is completely destroyed when someone has one of these old generators that they bought a long time ago because they were disaster planning like ages ago. Now they put on this generator. This thing is so loud. There's no peace. There's nothing. The only person who could have any peace at this point is the person who's inside their house with their noise canceling headphones, like watching movies on their TV because they've got their generator going outside.
Except your noise canceling headphones have no battery.
Well, they do for you when you're the guy in your house with the generator going, right? That guy's fine. It's just everybody else in the neighborhood who has to listen to this thing going so, so loud.
But oh, terrible.
For the first day, that's just super annoying. You're like, what is with this guy? But then when the power's out for 3 days, very quickly all the neighbors start being like showing up with generators and people going to Canadian Tire getting generators. Mm-hmm. And we did not know how long the power was going to be out for. So there was, we knew it would be at least like 2-3 days. Like common sense would tell you that in our neighborhood. But there were some reports that, you know, it might last 4 days or a week. And then rumors start flying because nobody can access any reliable information because your internet's not working. So rumors abound and people are like, what? It could be out for a month? All right, I'm getting a generator now.
So how did you guys cope with having no power for an extended period like this?
Well, I kind of gave that preamble at the beginning about how we were going into this long weekend knowing, oh, it's going to be a rough long weekend for the family because I'm going to be gone working. Well, imagine what it was like.
Dad's got to work. Come hell or high water, dad's got to work.
Yeah, that is the one of the few jobs that when the power goes out like that, when there's a disaster like that, they don't just say, all right, I'll close it down. There's no point in going into work today. I'm one of the few jobs where it's like, no, we definitely need you here at work.
It's true. We talked about family medicine a few weeks ago. The family doctor is spending time with his family when the power goes out, right? It's like, oh, building has no power, can't turn on the computer, it can't work. That's the end of that.
So fun times for my wife and the four kids at home with no power, which like is happening during the evenings when I'm not, my shifts were all evening shifts. I was 4 to midnight the first day, then 2 to 10 the other 2 days. So that was a bit of a challenge, but it does speak to a little bit about how there is some value in being at least somewhat prepared for things like power outages. So, they had candles, they had stuff like that. We have a gas barbecue and a gas stove, so we could still cook stuff. There was a moment at the beginning of saying, don't open the fridge. We put tape on the fridge. So, you know, we want this food to last. So nobody open the fridge. But when I got home and could report on the damage that was done, because at home, they don't know that there's broken power lines and power poles sitting in their street, right? So when I come home, I'm saying, let's switch strategies now, because that stuff in the fridge, that's not going to last 4 days. So now it's more of a eat anything you want from the fridge while you still can.
Store all your fats for and get ready to hibernate for the rest of the winter.
That's right. Luckily, we have the water still works in my neighborhood because we're not on well water or anything like that. So water still works. You just don't get hot water. So for that second day going to work, had a very brief, very cold shower. and then by the third day, I was filling up bathtubs with water and then putting in boiling water from the stovetop so that the kids could have a bath. And was trying to set up a bath for my wife if she wanted to have like some form of relaxation after a few days just alone with the kids at night.
Going the old Taiwan style, man. That's how my parents bathed growing up, right? Just sitting in a tub and someone bringing huge containers of water.
But there's something kind of fun when you're sort of forced to be creative and do some of this stuff when there's no power. And there's something kind of fun about there's no TV and everyone has to spend time together. There's a certain mm-hmm. enjoyment, except when one of the parents is at work and the other person's by himself. Then there's very little aspect of that that's fun.
Now, how about what are the kids doing to entertain themselves? Like, are they all going to bed at 8:30 when it's dark, or are they trying to stay up and continue to do stuff? Because I actually don't really understand how human beings survived before light bulbs were invented. I've never really understood this. I'm assuming they were all super well rested. There was no such thing as, you know, people feeling stressed or depressed because they all slept 12 hours every day.
Well,
what's so it actually like?
The first night when I came home, I got home at about 1:30, 1:45 in the morning because I was working. Mm-hmm. And the scene I walked in on, there was little stations set up all throughout the house with different board games. So the kids had the idea of saying, let's make a game house. And so over here they had a game called Splendor set up. Over there they had Uno set up. And so there are all these things. So that gave me some insight into how they'd spent a part of the day. In terms of, was everybody sleeping well? Did they go to bed early? No, because there's excitement. Right? There's excitement going on. Something different. Something's. The grown-ups are concerned about something, so that's exciting. So when I came home, my son's like, "Hey, Dad!" I say, "Oh, whoa, son, you're still awake." "Oh, yeah." But so that part was it. And then I guess they had still some fireworks going off because it's Victoria Day weekend. So somewhere somebody was lighting off fireworks. So that, I guess, right, made things exciting, but also kept them awake. And then it was hot on that first day. It was a hot day that first day, so the windows were open. Went in to find my wife also quite wide awake with some pretty jangled nerves because the windows opened to keep the house like from getting too warm. But the neighbors got their generator blasting, keeping everybody awake.
Oh, craziness.
Yeah. But anyway, so over the next few days, when I was home during the daytime at least, kids were able to find things to do, playing outside with their friends, going to the park, stuff like that. But I certainly encountered some people at work whose kids were having a struggle. People who are saying to me, I'm saying, "Oh, what happened? How'd your kid get injured?" They're like, "Oh, because of the storm." And you're like, "Oh, because of the storm? Did they think something land on them?" Like, no. Because of the storm, there's no TV, there's no tablet, so they had to play outside. And so they got hurt. Like, oh, I see.
They were so deconditioned after like 12 years of a television-only schedule right, that suddenly they didn't know how to cope with walking.
That's right. Although I did, there wasn't a lot of children injured by the storm, directly by the storm, but there was some children injured by the storm. Mm-hmm. And at the adult hospital, which is nearby, there were some people so seriously injured. So, you know, mm-hmm. respect for the people who actually don't come out of this with jokes and smiling. But we made it through, all things considered. We made it through without having the power for a few days. But yeah, you very quickly realize how much you rely on electricity.
I feel, I don't even know. Like, I definitely was like the last few days strung out by dealing with just the minutiae of not the actual storm, just this whole insurance company business, yeah, thinking about like how to deal with the neighbor, you know, the tree fell from their side, who's responsible. You end up spending the afternoon Googling all this nonsense, yeah, right? Like, who's responsible? Who's going to cover the cost? Blah, 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 blah. And I feel like we just lose sight of what is actually the issue. The actual issue is that we're safe. Thank goodness we're safe, period. See, the rest of it doesn't matter.
What you needed is, you needed like 24 hours without power. 3 days is no fun, but if you guys had 24 hours without power, it's like, can't call the insurance company, can't do it to that. You know what? We can't do anything. Why don't we just sit tight for 24 hours and play some board games, and then we'll deal with these things afterwards. That's what you guys needed.
Is this the biggest storm you've experienced as a parent?
Well, I mean, Toronto had Ottawa had tornadoes, I think like the summer before last summer, maybe two summers or three summers ago. So somebody I worked with, house destroyed by a tornado. So it's not common for us to get tornadoes by any means. And usually they hit the sort of more rural outskirts of the town. But I think what makes this just unique is how much of an effect it had on the power grid. So we've had other storms where, lost shingles off the roof, fence blown down, stuff like that. But for the way this one came so intense for that brief period of time, but in that brief period of time, it knocked down a lot of power poles. This is the biggest power outage that we've had in my lifetime in Ottawa. And that includes the, well, so we remember there was the ice storm in 1998, right? Do you remember
okay.
that?
Okay. But in 2003, there was a huge power outage that went across the East Coast. Do you remember?
Yes.
Like New York.
That's right.
Detroit. Maybe not Detroit. Maybe Boston, Toronto.
Yes.
Like the Eastern Seaboard lost power for several days. That's the one that I remember.
That can be a whole separate podcast is how we handled that day. Because I was trying to fly to Alberta right when that happened. But this, in a way, was worse for Ottawa from the point of view that the damage that caused that was not actually within our city. It's just that the place that supplied the power was out, right?
Right.
So the power came back on in 48 hours or less, right? I think it was like a day of power outage.
Two days, I think, in where I was at that time.
Yeah. So this, at least for some people in Ottawa, their power is out much longer. And for me personally, it affected me longer than that would have. But the damage to our infrastructure was worse. For the ice storm in 1998, that caused a lot of damage outside of Ottawa. So a lot of people outside of Ottawa were without power for weeks. But for Ottawa, me personally, where I was living at the time, we didn't lose power for more than 30 seconds. But for the city as a whole, power was restored, from my recollection, fairly quickly. But then again, when you're one of the people who has power, it doesn't seem like it's that bad anywhere else.
That's what I'm thinking as I'm listening to this story of yours, right? I mean, you didn't have power. I mean, the problem is power is such like a modern thing, right? Like when you say you don't have power, it makes me think of like frivolous stuff mostly, yeah. Right? Like, oh, you couldn't turn on your router, right? Your television was blackened for a few hours, right? Like, but you forget how annoying it is
right.
when places don't have water. You can't flush the toilet all of a sudden. You're worried about food running out. Like it's just the problem is when you just say power, it doesn't sound as dramatic, you know?
Yes. Well, also, when you lose electricity, if you've planned for it, if you were expecting, oh, I'm going to lose electricity this day, that's very different than when it comes out of the blue unexpected. So, you know, things like plans you might have had for what you're going to do the next couple of days, you can't cancel those plans or communicate with anybody those plans. So my son was going to a birthday party, and the person hosting that party, a lot of stress for them, as they can't even make a cell phone call because cell phone power is not working. They can't get through to people to say to them that the party's still on or that the party's canceled. Mm-hmm. People can't confirm if they're showing up or not. And the party was at a movie theater that didn't lose power. So So we just showed
they
up.
Still had, that day. You showed up.
Yeah,
the
we showed up.
Still went.
We showed up, and this mom was so relieved. Oh, thank goodness that you people came, because the party's still on, and with all the other things going on with my son right now, to at least have his birthday party not canceled just means so much to him. So, but yeah. So, also, you can still eat without power. But if the stuff that you have is not stuff that like can be, you know, if you don't have a gas barbecue or a barbecue at all, if you don't have a gas stovetop, if everything's electric at your place, then how you're going to cook your food becomes a challenge. And if you knew ahead of time that you're going to have no power, you just buy food that you don't need to heat up.
Right.
But if your plan was, oh, it's the long weekend, so I bought a giant turkey, we're having a feast, it's like, oh, okay, can't do anything with a frozen turkey. Luckily for us, we had no plans for the long weekend. The only thing is that it just happened to hit us at a time when we had virtually no food in the house at all. So very little in the fridge spoiled. That was the upside.
Oh, it's crazy. Crazy. I didn't even think to ask you about the storm until this morning. It just didn't register that this thing went everywhere. And I was like, how many people could I know would be affected by this thing? We've already been affected enough, right? With these trees.
That's right.
Ah.
Well, you know, I'm a silver linings type of guy, right? Always looking for the silver lining. So here's my silver lining story from this. One of the problems with the storm is that it knocked out power to a lot of gas stations, right? Mm. And actually, it just so worked out that when the storm hit, I was driving my wife's vehicle because my car was almost out of gas. Like, I didn't think I had enough gas to get to work and back. And I've pushed it before. I've pushed my car past when it says zero gas and the lights blinking to say you're out of power or out of gas. I've pushed it before and made it, but I wasn't gonna in the mood to do that. So this day I was driving around in my wife's van when I ran out of time to get to work on time. So I took off in her van And then the power went out and everything. And if I had been in my car instead of hers, my car would not have made it. Like, I would not have made it to that flood area that I'm talking about. But anyway, the next day, my son's going to this birthday party, so now I have to take my car. But by now, the roads aren't flooded. They've cleared off the debris. And my only concern is, am I going to have enough gas to get to work or not? As I'm driving there, all the usual gas stations on the way there, they're out of power, so there's no gas there. But I'm passing a couple of gas stations that I knew had power from my drive the day before. And there's line up around the block as everybody is trying to get gas, probably because they need to power their generators, or maybe just because, like, when you decrease the number of available gas stations by half on a long weekend, people who want to leave town to go to their cottage or drive to some other place that have power, they're lining up for gas. So anyway, I didn't have time to make it to work on time and stop for gas on the way there. But I believe in my car. I have faith in my car that it will not run out of gas on me, even when it says it's out of gas, if I push it just a little further. So now I'll pick up gas on the way home. Now I'm driving home. It's like 11:30 or so at night. And I go to that gas station. I pull in. And gas, which is ridiculously overpriced right now, it's like $1.98 is what it was that night. And we were already in a good mood because it wasn't over $2. But I go in, and after all these people have been using gas all day, they're out of regular gas. They're out of, like, the one above regular, like super. You know, you always have three choices to get the gas, and you usually ignore the other two, and you only ever put the
Yeah, you're ready
gas.
For gold.
That's right. So they're out of regular, they're out of super, and the only thing they have left is Supreme. They only have Supreme gas. However, they're only, because the sign says $1.98, and you're not allowed to sell it at a different price than what's at the sign, they're charging only $1.98 for the Supreme gas. And I can see the sign is saying, like, if I was to buy super, it's $2.17 a liter. But I'm buying it for $1.98. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Storm is all worth it. Completely full tank of Supreme gas. My car has never driven so smoothly.
Your car doesn't know what to do with it, quite frankly.
My car's like, oh, I've never been this full of gas. Oh, I'm having cramps. Like, normally when I put gas in my car, the amount of gas I'm paying for is about 46 liters. It's like a 46 liter tank. But today it was 55 liters, or that day it was 55 liters, because that's just how far I'd driven it without gas.
There's a theme here that I detect, you know, given the state of Dr. Harmon's finances. Like, his cars are, both cars are running on next to empty, right?
No, my wife's car was doing pretty well for gas.
Oh, you switched it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't drive the wife's car the second day because she needed it that day.
The fridge also running on empty, right? He's barely got any food to eat. He's got no gas. I mean, you have clothes over there, right? You have stuff to wear at least.
My gas, my car, my body, everything in my life, it's fueled by optimism. That's what my car runs on.
Well, you got plenty of that. Kudos to you.
But so after both of our experiences, to round out the podcast, do we want to talk about maybe what we, after having going through this, is there anything that we would say emergency preparedness-wise that we would advise people who maybe were listening to this who are outside of Ontario who didn't go through this, about what we think the useful things are to have in your house that are practical so that you're ready for an emergency?
Well, apparently 6 flashlights came in handy, so maybe that's one that I'll throw on the list. My mother-in-law is, like, super prepared. We have flashlights tucked into all these nooks and crannies in our house. And the problem with the flashlights is that if you leave them in your house for too long with the batteries start to leak, right? Like, you know what happens if you have a battery sitting in a device for too long. Eventually, the thing is unusable at the time that you actually need it, right? So I'm not sure what to say in this situation. I don't think it's actually that necessary to have a ton of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, as dads, medical dads especially, we should just be adaptable, you know, be able to think on your feet. That's the mark of a true superhero. Batman is not Batman because of the utility belt and one of those little thingamabobs that he has in it. Everything he's got is right upstairs. And that's the lesson to dads out there. Okay, this is not about the flashlights. It's about keeping your cool, thinking on your feet. Yeah. As Don Corleone said in The Godfather, women and children can be careless, but not men.
Interesting, interesting. Well, I mean, you know me, by the seat of my pants is just how I fly. But if we were going to talk about some things that you would want to have, you know, I think the problem often that you run into is that if you have this whole super duper emergency preparedness kit going. It's like you have to maintain it. Right? So then it's not really just something that you tuck away for the day you need it. It's something that you have to be vigilant about keeping on top of. So yeah, mm-hmm. if you have your flashlights with batteries already in them, then yeah, you're going to have these leaking batteries when the day comes you need it. If you have food, right, that's like, okay, this is the type of food that I'm going to have for an emergency. You really have to be practical about what you're keeping there, because some of that stuff will be no good when you actually go to mm-hmm. use it. But I think water is one of those things that it's good to think about what you're going to do if the power goes out and then something happens to the city's grid for actually like keeping the water clean. So I think it's not an impractical idea to have some containers of water somewhere in your house so that when the time comes, if you need that. Or if you want to go really hardcore, you could be one of these, you know, when you go camping, they have kits for like cleaning the water so that you can sort of purify lake water. Something like that, I think. During this experience, I was thinking about this and thinking, you know what, that's something that if this were to stretch on longer, I'd be glad if I had. Mm-hmm. Matches are something that I think you can have batteries that leak or whatever, but having matches is practical.
Yeah, the old matches and candle trick is not bad.
Yeah, when you have flashlights around the house and you have children, as soon as they find them, they want to play with them. Right? And that's how you run out of flashlights with good batteries. But it's not a bad idea to have some place where you know, this is where I keep my flashlight that has no batteries in it, but a pack of batteries next to it. And a radio is actually something that you wouldn't think of. But a battery-powered radio and some fresh batteries to put in it can come in handy when you want some information about when's power coming back, what's going on, and your cell phone's not working. So those are a couple things. Yeah. And of course, comic books, obviously.
Well, those are available in your house and they don't degrade just because there's no power, right? So we could do a whole section on why it's better to have actual paper comic books than to be reading digital comics during a power outage.
You have a bin in your house somewhere or some glass with a little hammer that in the case of emergency, you break the glass and behind it, there's some comic books that you've never read before, just so that you're not getting bored.
Never do that. Never do that. Your body will create the storm because it wants to access those comic books, right? Don't do that.
Just keep bins of condoms. That's all you need.
All right. Well, glad to see you made it through the storm. We will reconvene in a week when we talk about something else that's related to parenting, presumably.
You mean monkeypox?
Exactly.
So next week, monkeypox. And maybe we'll talk a bit about this mysterious hepatitis. So stay tuned.
Sounds good. Sounds good. We're getting back into the medical part of the medical dads. I like it.
Yeah. And since we know nothing about monkeypox, that part of the podcast will last about 5 minutes, and then we'll just goof off for another 45 minutes.
All right, Stu, go forth and read about monkeypox, and then I'll see you next week.
See you in a week, folks.